undressed with no place to go. They have everything they want, but they have empty souls. If they could just, the American teenager, all 39 million of them, could experience just what we experienced now in here, they would be different. This morning, I want to speak on the American teenager and you. I happen to believe that the greatest mission field in the world today is the American teenager. In fact, I'll go one step further. I happen to believe that the most important mission field in America today is the San Fernando Valley. All 85,000 of them. In a moment, I'm going to speak on the subject, but you know, most students in America really aren't that good looking. They're just average. Almost all teenagers have low self-esteem and self-hate and destructive behavior to back it up. One out of every three teenagers in America this morning has suicidal tendencies. 13 million need professional counseling today. And either they are homely on the outside or homely on the inside. But God looks at them and says, I love you. You are beautiful to me. I want Al Denson to do a song for us about a girl who's homely. Very homely. Her name was Louise, but God loved her. Help us out, Al.
Every school's got one.
Louise, she was a loser.
Some called her
the ugliest girl in her school.
Well, it was because her short, stringy hair, it made everyone stare. And her hand-me-down clothes made her look the fool. She's
ugly Louise. Why, there goes Louise. Louise, she was a loser. She'd stutter when she'd speak. When she'd come to play, why, we'd all run away. 'Cause here comes Louise. Everyone in school, they'd use her as a punchline of their jokes, the object of their laughter. Louise, she was a loser, but Jesus, he wouldn't refuse her. In fact, he gave his life to choose her. But to Jesus, she's worth so much more than this earth. Why, he sees her as lovely.
We had a tragic bus accident. Maybe some of you have seen the video when tragedy strikes. The youth group that went off the cliff in Georgia. And the girl was killed. Her name was Angela. And we did a special around that tragic bus accident. And then just last week, you recall, the bus full of Chicano kids went off. Got pushed off into the pit. Did you see that, hear about that? Angela was a Christian. Little girl who smashed her head in the back of the school bus and died. But you know, there are many girls, many guys across America today who are dying. And we can't say we'll see you again. Since the chapel has begun, a teenager has killed himself. We're running a little late on time, and I'll rush up my talk, but I want Al, for now, to do the Angelus song. And when he gets to the climax of the song, remember that there will be many teenagers who will kill themselves through destructive habits and so forth, who we'll never see again. The student does not come to Christ by the time he's 18, 85% never will. I call that death, don't you?
Angela, when will I see you again? My sister, my faithful friend. Angela, Angela, when will I see you again? My sister, my faithful friend. Angela, I remember running through the fields together. We were as swift as the wind. I remember the morning sun shining in your eyes. You became my sister and my friend. But Angela, when will I see you again? My sister, my faithful friend. Angela, I remember the evening when the phone call, it came to me, bringing the news that crushed my heart. They said that a tragedy came and you no longer live. My trembling soul fell. I fell apart.
Turn to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Thank you, Al. Let's give Al a hand. A tremendous job this morning. Al Denson, ladies and gentlemen. Matthew 9, verses 36 and following. By the way, Al's wife is here, Tracy Denson, who's from the Valley. Tracy, if you'll stand up. Welcome to Master's College and all of that. Thank you, Al. Al and I are here for a reason, not simply to talk to you, as thrilling as that is. We are at Grace Community Church tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday night as I do a shortened version of my Walk to Christ with Christ to the Cross concert or conference. He does the concert. I don't sing, praise God. Thank you, Al. Thank you, Al. If I sang, you'd begin to sing the song, Rebuke the Puke. Pray for those sessions every night. Wednesday night, I know you're in finals and all that, but we need your help. I need you to come. Many of you come Wednesday night. I'm trusting God for at least 300 decisions Wednesday night. And we need counselors. We need people who will pray. Right there at Grace Community Church. The American teenager, I've been doing this for 20 years now. Think of it. When you were born, I was on the streets of San Fernando Valley trying to get young speed freaks to become Jesus freaks. I'm nothing more than an old hippie. Since that time, I've had a chance to talk to a million teenagers face to face. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. And I'm here to tell you that God wants many of you to not worry about being the next John MacArthur. You need to be committed to reaching the American teenager for Christ. You need to be committed to doing God's will. But I believe that many of you, many times I have dreamed of being another John MacArthur, and God won't let me. And here I am, I'll be 43 next month, and I'm still doing it. Josh McDowell is 50, and he's still doing it. But I believe in this auditorium there's some men and women who will have to take our place soon. There needs to be women counselors for teenage girls like never before in the history of America. And there needs to be youth leaders and youth communicators and youth counselors like never before in the history of this land. I believe we have a window of opportunity for the American teenager for perhaps the next 5 to 7 years, and then I believe that window will close. So destructive is the youth culture. And I believe your generation may just pull it out. Matthew 9, verses 36, the missionary verse. Good thing I was here first, huh? Matthew 9, verse 36, the famous missionary verse. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them. Question, if Jesus Christ were to walk with you this morning after chapel, and he took you over to Reseda High School here in the valley, or Chatsworth, or Monroe High School. Tracy and I were trying to remember that. Monroe High School. Or any of the others on this campus, on the campuses that hold 85,000 teenagers in the San Fernando Valley. If he could walk with you on the campus, what do you think he would feel? What do you think he would do? And what do you think he would say? Matthew 9, verses 36 and following. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them. The word multitudes means big crowd. Let's pretend we're at a pep assembly. Big crowd at a big school in the San Fernando Valley. He would see all kinds of kids, would he not? He would, of course, see minorities. Did you know by the year 2000, if the rate continues to go as it is, Caucasians will be in minority in America? That's neither good nor bad. I'm just saying somebody better learn Spanish. He would see Chicano kids. He would see black kids. He'd see dopers, elopers, and ropers. He'd see religious kids. Of course, the 80s was supposed to be the age of religion. But did you know that one out of every four teenagers in America has never read, opened the Bible? Did you know that 40% of all teenagers in America cannot read and get concepts out of it? Think of that while you're parsing your Greek. Did you know that only one out of every three teenagers in America go to church because they say they can't find life there? And you know that a few years ago, Campus Crusade did a study of the evangelical students of America and found out that no more than 10% have any different moral value system than that of the world. And did you know, according to Gallup poll, only one out of every 10 teenagers in America reads their Bible more than once a week? And this was the age, the 80s of religion. 94% of all kids say there is a God. 88% says he's important. Yet less than 50% pray. We're religious, but we're lost. Then, of course, he would see kids who were involved in drugs. We don't have to beat that to death. Kids are doing drugs a tad less, as we saw last week in the big study, but doing it more to get higher. You ever seen somebody on crack? Have you ever seen a teenage girl selling her body for $5 a trick to get one more hit of crack? And did you know that we have 5 million alcoholic teenagers in America today, and this bud is not for me? We see kids, the American teenager, this generation is the biggest beer-guzzling generation in American history. They are empty. And we're walking around trying to tell them how to say no, and they're filled with demons due to drugs. Jesus is the just, and the just say no, and we would see many wasted kids. We'd see many kids messed up in their homes. Did you know that 1 out of every 3 girls in America by 1994, if the trend continues, will be sexually molested by somebody in their own home? 1 out of every 6 guys in America? Hey, those problems aren't solved with a hayride at the Alliance Church. Those problems aren't solved by a lock-in at a Baptist church. And those problems are not solved by a study of the Bible in a Bible church. That alone is not enough. Too bad 1 million teenagers run away every year. Too bad 500,000 are pushed out. Too bad 50,000 kids are on the streets of America tonight selling their bodies. Too bad 5,000 die every year and we bury them in unmarked graves. We don't even know who they are. Too bad 50,000 kids we can't even find in America today. Too bad. He'd see kids all messed up in sex. 70% of all women are no longer virgins by the time they graduate from high school. 80% of all guys are no longer virgins. Too bad. Too bad, even though with the advent of AIDS, guys still aren't wearing condoms. See, we told them they're okay now. You're responsible. Wear a condom. That will make you a superstar. That'll make you a responsible human being. I actually saw a poster where it said, "Latex, the new moral fiber of America." I'm sorry, but a thin piece of rubber is not going to solve the problems of the misuse of sex in America. Too bad 1 million girls get pregnant every year out of wedlock. Too bad nearly 500,000 will butcher their own bodies in the act of abortion. Not to mention their babies. Just remember, every baby was a former fetus. Too bad. Seeing the multitudes, stay with me, I'm back in the text. He felt compassion for them. Now the word compassion, as you know, has a double meaning. First of all, it means from the bowels. Or as they would say in high church, his heart, great heart heaved. We would say, he would retch. You ever saw something so awful, so terrible, you retch and double up from the middle out? If Jesus Christ were to walk on the campuses of the San Fernando Valley this morning, he would double over in pain. So sick would he be. Derived from that word of compassion, the strongest word in the New Testament for compassion also means, it implies a near panic to do something about the problem. Ladies, I see you have on your nice dresses today. I guess that's code, huh? Just found out jeans after 4. Go ahead, take the picture. Put it in the yearbook. It'll be all right. I didn't know the code, so life will go on. It's grace. Aren't we under grace now? I think we are. But at any rate, last time I looked, it was grace. I don't know. They can name a whole church after it. I don't know. But I don't know. But at any rate, where was I? Now I'm in trouble. I was doing so well, and now I'm in trouble. What was I talking about? Compassion. Ladies, I notice you're wearing a dress. Well, that's when I got in trouble. Okay. Let's say you were going to church. Did you hear about the girl not too long ago? Had a baby at Standard Station, Amoco Station. Had it, cut the cord, wrapped it in a newspaper, and left it on the back of the toilet seat. You're walking to church. I'm making this up. You're walking to church. Got your high heels on. Don't ask me why you're walking to church. I'm making this up. You come across a dumpster, and you hear a baby crying inside the dumpster. Would you go? You're all alone, okay? You go, well, I'd like to help the baby, but I got to get the church. Plus, if I climb into that dumpster, I got to run in my nylons, and it's not very ladylike. As they say in junior high, forget you. What you would do is you would dive into that dumpster. You know why? There'd be a panic to do something about it. You know what's wrong with many of our churches today? And I'm pro-church, don't get me wrong. There is no panic. We get up and watch our little Southern Baptist choir, youth choir, sing, and all the people just go, oh, isn't that wonderful? Yeah, well, the Southern Baptist did a study and found out that by the time a Southern Baptist kid is a sophomore in college, 94% of them are no longer involved in a local church, and less than 30% ever come back. Go ahead. Numb the pain, Mama, but we're in a war, and there isn't very many people panicked. Listen. The American teenager will never be touched for Christ until our hearts break and there is a panic to do something about it. And it's okay to parse the verbs, and it's okay to hear John MacArthur take the Scripture apart as no man in America or the world can do. Friends, but that's not enough. And he would agree, we need a broken heart for a broken world. Because as Bob Dylan sings in his latest album, everything's broken. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed. I'm back in the text then, can you tell? And downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Distressed and downcast. The word distressed here means literally raped, mangled, or flayed by a wild animal or person. The American teenager is seen in the eyes of Jesus Christ as somebody raped, mangled, or, as we say still, ripped off. The American teenager has been ripped off by their own churches who play church and don't talk life. The American teenager has been ripped off by their own parents who are too busy, bless their little baby boomer hearts, to chase after their own Rolexes rather than loving their own kids. The American teenager has been ripped off by their own rock idols. Mick Jagger a couple years ago had... Mick Jagger's back. Hey, he's 47. I can keep going for crying out loud. A couple years ago, he had a press conference. Mick Jagger of the demon-possessed Rolling Stones. Got up, you know what he said? He said, you know, since I'm past 40 now, I have to go to bed on time and work out. That'll happen to you too, by the way. And he said, and by the way, I want to say something else to the American teenager. What's that, Mick? Drugs are bad for you. Oh, thank you, Mick. For 20 years, you have been pushing drugs, and now you are saying they're bad for you. Too late. They asked Madonna why she wears a crucifix on her chest. She says, I think it's sexy to have a naked man on my body at all times. Listen, Madonna. Dance on the altar in your slip all you want. It's one thing when Pepsi drops you. It'll be something else when God drops you. The American teenager has been ripped off. Also, the Bible says, not only have they been distressed, but they are also downcast. You say, Dawson, what does that mean? Downcast means thrown down so hard they barely have the power to get back up again. Don't ever be afraid of kids. They've been thrown down so hard they barely have a chance to get back up again. I found this poem. I can't believe I found this poem. You know how kids come up and hand me stuff? I wrote this poem. Some kid in San Francisco last week hands me this poem, says I wrote it for a friend of mine who was suicidal. He's supposed to be a Christian kid, although he cusses all through it, and I clean some of it up. Because, you know, genes are enough without any more controversy. I left the dams in, but I took out some other words, so I kind of read this to you. You know why I want to read it to you? It's a Christian kid. Quotes Christian kids. See, Christian kids are hurting. You know that, don't you? Right? I mean, this isn't rocket science. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? This Christian kid who's all convoluted and turned around, and the poem's messed around. You'll hear it in a second. writes a poem for a friend who is suicidal. And by the way, if you want the poem, we'll make it available to you somehow. Why did I just say that? I don't know. I said that. To the Xerox machine. The library's 10, 20 cents. The library's just raking in my money. Okay, here we go. Listen to this poem. Listen to this. I'm sick and tired of seeing kids die because they couldn't answer the damn question, why? I'm angry. He had another word for it. But I'm angry at seeing kids dead because no one paid attention to anything they said. Damn it, kid, why did you die? Was it because no one heard you cry? Listen, kid, I know what you mean. But you've got to remember, things aren't always what they seem. Were you screaming for help? But no one knew. I understand, kid. That happened to me, too. Suicide's a game. Doesn't anyone care? You play it till you complete your personal dare. If no one finds you, your game is done. Is that the way this game is won? Ooh, ooh, ooh. What a line. You play the game till you complete your personal dare. If no one finds you, the game is done. Is this the way? That the way this game is won? Whew. This kid is in pain. This kid sat in the audience last Saturday night in San Francisco. What's going on in this world today? People talk this. This is what they say. I've been busy and in court, you see. Because my wife, she's divorcing me. Oh, excuse me, sir. Do you have a little time? I'm very hungry. I only need a dime. Listen, kid, and get out of my way. My Rolex is in the shop, and I got to get it back today. I don't have the money to spare for you. Because the payment on my houseboat is due. My stepdad was drunk and beat me last night. That's okay, though, because I like to fight. A girl was molested, but she can't tell her mother. Who would believe that the guy was her brother? Her friend was raped by her boyfriend, I guess. Thank God she didn't get pregnant, but her life is a mess. Is life a joke or an eternal hell with each of us living in a homemade cell? Ooh. I'm mixed up. Could you please help me? Will you let me out and set me free? I'm sick and tired of feeling this way, waking up depressed each and every day, always thinking, what's the point in living? Everybody's talking. Show me someone who's given. No one cares who's going on in my mind, what's going on in my mind. Everyone thinks I'm so happy and kind. I guess I'll end it. Tonight will be the end. Jesus Christ, I wish I had a friend. Someone who'd listen, someone who'd care, someone who'd see that, damn it, I'm scared. If I died tonight, it really wouldn't matter. For all the gossipers, it'd be a great new place of chatter. If I'm here tomorrow, things will be the same. The teacher will point at me because he forgot my name. Would anybody care if I was dead and gone? I'd have no more pain of seeing another dawn. My cries are getting louder, but still no one hears. No one understands the pain I've felt these years. Then it goes on from there. Talks about how Christ is the answer and so on. Oof. Doesn't that just put ice into your veins? The American teenager has been thrown down so hard, and divorce wasn't their idea. Give them a break. MTV wasn't their idea. Give them a break. 20 years ago, I tried to lead a heroin addict to Christ in the streets of Sherman Way and Reseda Boulevard while she nursed her baby with a bottle with whiskey in it. I don't know where that 20-year-old baby is today, because he's 20 years old now, but I bet you he's dead or in jail, and it wasn't really their fault. They didn't think up MTV. They didn't think up the misuse of sex, and they didn't think up materialism. It was shoved down their throats like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep aren't too smart. They can't remember where they ate. When one goes over the cliff, they all go over the cliff. The American teenager can think of thousands of ways to get away from God, but can only get back with a shepherd. And then you know what he would do? He'd get his disciples, he'd get you, I should say, and he would come over here, and he'd get together the leaders of this school, and he would say this, listen to me and I'll close. The harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. Think of it, ladies. There's a little Chicano girl just 15 miles from here who's pregnant, scared, and thinking about killing herself. I pray to God that He keeps her from doing that until we can get to her with the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. The harvest is plentiful. I have never in my entire 20 years of ministry, save the burst through the valley of the Jesus movement in the early 70s, ever seen kids more open to Jesus Christ and coming to Christ than now. The harvest is plentiful. Now, if you do a mission slide this year for the American teenager, and that would be a great idea, hint, hint. And it says, please pray for the American teenager. That's fine. But when you pray, don't pray that they're ready to come to Christ. You know why? They already are. The harvest is what? The problem is what? The laborers. We need one youth leader for every 7 kids in America. One volunteer or professional for every 7 kids in America. Walter will tell you there are 85,000 kids, as I said, in the San Fernando Valley. And if there's 11 or 12 youth pastors in this valley, I would be full-time. I would be in shock. Talk about being outnumbered. What I'm saying is this, that we need to pray. Jesus said, pray that the Lord would touch laborers that could go out into His harvest. Pray, pray, pray. And pray that Master's College would have the finest youth major in America today. If you don't have one, get one. And make it the best it can be. And send out hundreds of workers onto the streets of America. What about it? What about it, ladies? What about it, men? Somebody's got to learn Spanish. Somebody's got to work with the Chicano with the knife. Somebody's got to go with the blacks to Crack Street. Somebody. Maybe you. Maybe you. Hey, I don't have to wait until I'm grown up to be what Jesus wants me to be. I sang that song when I was 4 years old. Listen to me. I know you're busy. I was in college once. Back before the flood, you remember Noah, don't you? Look at me. But I'm here to tell you, this old man's here to tell you that you have more time now than you'll have the rest of your life for time to do things. Now listen. The youth leaders, Walter being one of them, needs all the volunteer help he can get. You want to see your theology come alive? Live it on the streets of San Fernando Valley. Hang outside Monroe High School. And put the practical along with the theoretical together, and then you are alive. Well, in 4 years, I'm going to be a missionary. Well, let's load up in the car and go on down the valley, and in 4 minutes or 14 minutes, we can be one today.